Support comes from Sunday Morning Cafe, founded by researcher, speaker, and therapist Dr. Tom Wagner, offering mini retreats with live music and online resources to build resilience and community. SundayMorningCafe.com.
From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Friday, July 10th. I'm Abby Larico. A handful of detainees were recently selected to take a piano class for the first time at the St. Louis County Jail.
They are housed in the same pod together. They come from very different walks of life, but when they are in that room together, they're one band and one sound.
What the program aims to do for detainees, coming up after this news on The Gateway. A Midwest group that works to free wrongfully convicted prisoners says it may close its doors following last year's federal grant cuts from the Trump administration. As St. Louis Public Radio's Kayvon Mansouri reports, the organization is running out of money and time.
For the past 25 years, the Midwest Innocence Project has freed multiple people in Missouri and four other states wrongfully incarcerated for murder. In 2024, the project helped exonerate St. Louis and Christopher Dunn, who served 33 years in prison for a murder he did not commit. The group currently has a backlog of 900 people who believe they have been wrongfully convicted. Tahir Atwater is the group's executive director.
Some of those people are facing decades. Some of them are facing life. Some of them are facing a death sentence. We're not talking about just people possibly losing their jobs. We're talking about people losing their lifeline to freedom.
The group hopes to raise enough money by October to continue working. I'm Kayvon Mansouri, St. Louis Public Radio.
The St. Louis Police Department has launched an internal affairs investigation after a child's remains were found in a wooded area of Illinois this week. The remains are believed to be those of a boy whose mother first reported him missing in 2024, just after his second birthday. She told the department's juvenile division he was last seen with his father. Police say detectives worked through multiple leads and conflicting reports, but prosecutors never filed charges. The mother filed an additional report with the Deloge Police Department last month, and that led to authorities finding the child's remains in Stookey Township near Belleville Wednesday night. The child's father and another woman have both been charged with parental kidnapping. The internal investigation will look into the juvenile division's initial response and the department's handling of the case. St. Louis Police Chief Robert Tracy said the family deserves answers and promised transparency and accountability. Five St. Louisans are suing Congressman Wesley Bell and members of his security team after a town hall last summer ended in a physical altercation with protesters. As STLPR's Will Bauer reports, the lawsuit filed yesterday alleges the attendees were assaulted.
Protesters at the August 2025 town hall repeatedly challenged Bell over his support of Israel amid its war in Gaza. Plaintiff Christine Wilmes says she's sympathetic to the protesters' viewpoints, but attended to ask questions. She says she was thrown to the ground as the event ended. Wilmes says the lawsuit is about accountability.
While Bell may have the power and the funding to hire a private security force and illegally, violently squash dissent in rooms like that, those actions were, in fact, illegal, and they just will not hold up in court.
The five plaintiffs are each seeking $25,000 in damages and are asking for a jury trial. They filed the lawsuit less than a month ahead of Bell's high-profile Democratic primary rematch with former Congresswoman Cori Bush. I'm Will Bauer, St. Louis Public Radio.
A Bell spokeswoman says the protesters engaged in behavior the security team deemed a threat and calls the lawsuit a desperate attempt by Bush to distract voters ahead of the primary. Illinois Democrats are celebrating a federal appeals court decision to uphold the state's ban on assault-style guns such as AR-15s. Mawa Iqbal has more.
The Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals in Chicago ruled the law is, quote, consistent with the principles that underpin our nation's tradition of firearm regulation. Democratic elected officials are calling it a victory. And Governor J.B. Pritzker, in a statement, says Illinois will continue banning guns that, quote, inflict mass casualties. Pritzker enacted the ban in 2023 after the Highland Park parade shooting that left seven people dead and dozens more injured. State Representative Bob Morgan was at the parade. In a statement, he says the law is, quote, saving lives in Illinois. Last week, the U.S. Supreme Court announced it would take up a separate challenge to Cook County's assault weapons ban. I'm Mawa Iqbal.
An appeal hearing for a 120-megawatt data center planned for Midtown St. Louis will be held late this month. That's after being delayed this week. The data center is slated to be built in Midtown's old Famous Bar warehouse as part of a $3 billion project. The hearing will now be held Wednesday, July 29th. If approved, the data center would be the largest in the city. The highly controversial project has drawn a lot of public pushback. Currently, 13 appeals have been filed against the project's conditional use permit. The city of Kirkwood is facing a massive deficit and big increases in water and electricity rates. That's in part because of alleged impropriety at the city-owned utility and loans to build the Kirkwood Performing Arts Center. Mike Fitzgerald is a journalist covering the story for the River City Journalism Fund. He reports the city council met yesterday morning and voted to launch an investigation.
And one of the things they dealt with was hiring a outside firm to conduct a forensic audit to determine if there was any criminal wrongdoing, as well as come up with corrective actions. So they're very serious about it. So they agreed to send out an RFP for tomorrow to see what kind of auditing firms would be interested. Now, this is extremely significant because a few months ago, I would not have thought they would do this, because there just seemed to be a mindset of we're just going to move on and we're not going to admit fault or apologize.
Fitzgerald was a guest on St. Louis on the Air. He reports the audit will be detailed and could take months or even years to complete. St. Louis groups and businesses have been raising money and donating goods to help victims of the recent devastating back-to-back earthquakes in Venezuela. St. Louis Public Radio's Chad Davis has more.
The June 24th earthquakes have left more than 3,500 dead and thousands missing and many displaced. Racanelli's New York Pizzeria in St. Peter's partnered with Santa Elena Mexican Grocery Store in Fenton to collect groceries, clothes, and tools for rescue operations. Those were packed in a U-Haul and given to Global Empowerment Mission. Lourdes Arias is an operator and owner of the restaurant.
We are trying to figure out how to collect more either items, money, whatever we need to collect, and keep sending help there periodically because, you know, this is not a thing that's going to happen now and go away.
The Venezuelan Association in St. Louis is also collecting money. I'm Chad Davis, St. Louis Public Radio.
The stars will soon shine again at St. Louis's planetarium. The St. Louis Science Center announced that the James S. McDonnell Planetarium's theater is reopening July 18th. This follows nearly 6 months of renovations and upgrades to enhance the astronomy shows that can be put on at the theater. The Science Center says this makes the local landmark one of the biggest and most advanced planetariums in the United States. The theater's new projection system was funded in part by a private donation. Detainees at the St. Louis County Jail learned to tickle the ivories this spring. St. Louis Public Radio's Lucretia Wimbley reports the piano lessons are helping boost the spirits of residents at a jail that has struggled to provide them with enough recreation time.
At the St. Louis County Jail in Clayton, detainees tap away at black and white Yamaha keyboards, and they're struggling just a little bit to hit the right notes. It's the last day of a 15-week piano class that ended in May. The program is called Melodies of Hope. It started in February to give detainees more creative outlets.
At first, when I signed up, I didn't have great expectations, but then once I seen the keyboards and how nice everything was, I got acclimated. I thought, yeah, maybe this is going to be something, you know?
That's Aaron Futrell. He's one of a handful of detainees selected to take the class this spring. He says the class inspired him to pursue other skills, too.
I haven't played any instruments before this. When she do the singing class, I'm going to sign up for that, and we're going to try it out.
For others like Coran Adams, the class presented an opportunity to cultivate his musical talents.
I always wanted to play piano because I actually sing and I rap. That's the artist in me.
He says he often writes music while in his cell. Now he's interested in engineering music, too.
It aligned with my craft, so eventually I'll learn how to engineer and make beats and all that type of stuff just by coming to this class.
First line and third line are the same, right?
Class instructor Joe Zimple teaches detainees how to play the Christmas classic, Jingle Bells. He's also teaching them how to read sheet music and play with both hands.
It's just getting the fundamentals, because I know they want to play all sorts of songs. I was like, hey, how do I play this? I'm like, we're getting there, you know, like, we'll get it. But right now it's fundamentals and just getting our situated on the keys. So.
Zimple works for the nonprofit Pianos for People, which provides free piano lessons and keyboards. He says he hopes he'll see the men in his class again soon.
I'm expecting all of them to come find me after they're out.
Nikki Bond with the county jail says when the program first started, she asked detainees to name their class band. They chose Gifted Fingers.
They are housed in the same pod together. They come from very different walks of life, but when they are in that room together, they're one band and one sound.
She says the music has been therapeutic for some jail residents.
For some of them, this is probably the freest that they've ever been being in jail, and I know that that probably sounds like an oxymoron.
Conditions inside the jail have declined in recent years. It's been riddled with frequent flooding as it nears the end of its 30-year lifespan, and leaders say millions are needed for infrastructure improvements. On top of that, officials say the jail is overcrowded and understaffed. That means detainees are locked inside their cells more often than they're allowed out for recreation. Lisa Yeagers is the co-founder of the Transformative Justice Initiative at St. Louis University. The group works to improve health and safety inside prisons and jails. She says the staffing crisis at the county jail is part of a larger national trend.
So many locations are just in the survival mode where it's very difficult to get a program like this off the ground because it takes more people power.
Still, Yeager says detainees' mental health will continue to suffer until staffing problems are addressed.
The isolation, being disconnected from family, friends, social networks, and deprivation in a sense of many, you know, outdoors, different lighting, a night and day. Some spaces don't have windows, for instance.
For detainee Elijah Gant, the overall jail experience has been humbling. He says he used to look down upon people in jail before he became a detainee himself. Gant says he plans to use skills gained in the piano class in ministry once he's released.
I was like a little bougie. It humbled me and showed me, you know, these are the people that need God. They need a light.
I'm Lucretia Wembley, St. Louis Public Radio.
Our Rebecca Thiel edited that piece. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Theme music's by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, thanks for listening to The Gateway, and have a great weekend.